Are you looking for ways to strengthen your marriage? Would you like to raise children you enjoy being around? Do you long for a peaceful, orderly home that's a blessing to everyone who comes through its doors? Then you've come to the right place. I'm Jennifer Flanders, a Bible-believing, homeschooling mother to 12 and host of the Loving Life at Home podcast. Join me as we discover what God's Word has to say about marriage, motherhood, and minding the things that matter most. Hello, friend. Welcome to episode 34 of Loving Life at Home. Today, I want to share with you the number one rule for building a happy marriage. You don't have to dig very deep into Scripture to discover this secret. Jesus spells out our standard clearly in Luke 6:31 in the Sermon on the Mount. There we read, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Interestingly, Confucius taught a similar principle some 500 years earlier. Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. As did Buddha during that same time period. What is hateful to you, don't do to others. What is delightful to you, do for others also. And even Muhammad would later echo a similar statement. Seek for mankind that which you are desirous for yourself. In fact, every major religion promotes some version of the golden rule. In marriage, it boils down to this. You should treat your spouse the way you want to be treated. That's it. The number one rule for building a happy marriage. It doesn't get simpler than that. Although Jesus did expand upon this principle when he commanded us to love your neighbor as you love yourself in Mark 12:31. And the Apostle Paul provides further detail when he charges us to adopt the mind of Christ and follow his example in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Of course, all these ideas run completely counter to the messaging our current culture constantly shouts from every corner of the public square. Have you ever heard any of these? The most important person you have to please is yourself, or you can't love your neighbor until you love yourself, or if you don't stand up for yourself, no one else will. If you've bought into any of those self-assertion mantras, you need to reject them for the lies they are. As important as it is to know what God's Word says, it's also vital that we recognize what it doesn't say. Some have twisted Jesus' teachings to mean the exact opposite of the point that he was trying to make. So just to be clear, Jesus never said demand from others what you'd have them do for you. Rather, he implores us to do to others as we'd have them do to us. There is a huge difference. The question we must ask ourselves is this: am I being obedient to God's commands? Am I faithfully following Christ's example? Don't tell me you're waiting for your husband to make the first move. I'll be more loving to him once he's more loving to me. Or I'm not doing any of this stuff for him until he starts doing it for me. How many times have I heard that sentiment before? But we can't blame our own lack of obedience on somebody else's behavior. Someday we will all stand before our Maker to give account of our own words and actions, as we're told in Matthew 12:36 and Romans 14:2. And there will be no would-haves or meant-tos on that day. I will have to answer for my own areas of disobedience, as you will for yours, and our spouses will for theirs. Don't you long to be counted among those good and faithful servants who invested their times and talents wisely and carried out the will of their master with a cheerful and obliging heart? I do, and that includes how I attend to my relationship with my husband. To build a marriage that will go the distance, you need to treat your spouse with the same love and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and other qualities that you'd like to characterize his behavior towards you. So let's look at a few of those. You need to treat your husband with patience. Ephesians 4:2 urges us to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So if you'd like for your husband to be patient and understanding with you, then extend an extra measure of patience and understanding towards him. That includes recognizing when he's stressed or tired or hungry and patiently addressing the root cause of a problem rather than taking offense at blunt words or irritable tones. How many women expect an extra measure of grace and understanding, especially during that time of month when their hormones are getting the better of them, but are unwilling to extend the same grace toward a husband when he's especially vulnerable or needs it most? I'm normally pretty even-keeled emotionally, but there have been times, especially during my pregnancies, when I would cry at the drop of a hat, and my sweet husband learned to be so gentle and patient with me during such times. Thankfully, most of my sons take after their father in that department, especially the married ones. When I see them being protective of their wives and treating them with patience and understanding and gentleness, it blesses my heart. But guess what? My daughters-in-law definitely return the favor. They are so quick to recognize when their husbands are tired or stressed or hungry, or in the case of my two married sons that have type 1 diabetes, when their blood sugar is out of whack, and those wives patiently and sympathetically deal with those issues rather than getting annoyed by the fact that their spouse has needs too. And if you are truly committed to treating the man you married in the same way that you'd like to be treated yourself, you'll extend to him an extra measure of patience and understanding as well, especially during those times when he needs it most. Also, treat your husband with respect. 1 Peter 2:17 tells us, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Ephesians 5:33 is even more specific about our responsibilities as wives in this area. Nevertheless, each of you also must love his own wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Do you want your husband to honor you as a respected colleague? Then be faithful and deliberate in the way that you communicate respect to him. If you don't want him to nitpick and find fault and nag, then don't do those things to him. If it would bother you for him to complain about all your shortcomings to his friends and colleagues, then don't belittle him behind his back. If you don't want him to huff and puff and roll his eyes and dismiss your concerns and marginalize your opinions, then don't do those things to him. If you want him to give weight to your words and pay attention when you're telling him something, then you need to extend that same courtesy to him. That's what treating others as you want to be treated looks like. It also means that you should treat your husband with mercy. Ephesians 4:32 reads, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Do you hope that your husband will be quick to forgive and forget when you've done something to offend him? Then don't harbor grudges against him. If you don't want your husband to be bitter and resentful towards you, then you shouldn't allow bitterness and resentment to grow unchecked in your own heart. If you wouldn't want him to be constantly dredging up the time that you did something wrong in the past, then you shouldn't keep bringing up his mistakes and throwing his past failures back in his face. If you'd like for your husband to work on his own faults with greater gusto than he tries to rid you of yours, then you should aggressively work on addressing those areas in your own life where you're falling short of the example that Jesus sets for us. If you want him to be more introspective when it comes to identifying attitudes and actions in his own life that need to change, then you need to examine your own heart for similar blind spots. And if you'd like for your husband to get the log out of his own eye before he tries to remove the speck from yours, then ask God to open your eyes to your own faults and correct them while trusting him to do the same for your husband. Next, I recommend treating your husband with gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. First and foremost, our gratitude should be directed to God, but we should also be quick to show appreciation for the kindness and help that others give us. How does this look in marriage? Well, if you want your husband to be grateful for you, you should be grateful for him. If you'd like him to show appreciation for the many things you do to make his life more pleasant, then make a point of saying thank you for everything he does for you. And if you don't want your man to take you for granted, then don't adopt an entitled attitude toward him. Also, treat him with sweetness. In Proverbs 15:1, we read, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Do you prefer kind and encouraging words over angry tirades? Then remain positive and upbeat yourself, and resist the urge to scold or yell at your husband. Do you want your husband to keep his cool and discuss areas of disagreement civilly? Then don't act argumentative or belligerent toward him. Treat him with consideration. If you want your husband to look out for your your interest, you should look out for his. If you'd like him to consider your needs of higher precedence than his own, then treat him in kind. Do you want your husband to prioritize the things that are important to you? Then don't make excuses to avoid doing what's important to him. If you wish he'd be more attentive and listen to what you have to say and truly value your contributions, then treat him with that same consideration. And lastly, treat your husband with admiration. Would you like your husband to take notice of you and compliment your appearance? Then show him the same courtesy. Admire him and praise his manliness. If you want him to dwell on all your best character qualities and physical features, then devote more time to thinking about the things that you love or find most attractive in him. And share those thoughts with him, as Solomon's bride did in the Song of Songs. "How handsome you are, my beloved. Oh, how charming." So that's the key. If you want a built-to-last, happily ever after sort of marriage, then the surest way to get there is by treating your spouse as you wish to be treated. The golden rule is a great principle to live by, so I'd encourage you to put it into practice beginning today. Thanks so much for listening today. If you have a question you'd like to hear covered on this podcast, message me on Instagram at Flanders_family or contact me through my website, lovinglifeathome.com. Before you go, if you've been encouraged by something you've heard on the show, do me a favor and forward the link to a friend or head over to Loving Life at Home on Apple iTunes to subscribe and leave a written review of the show. Your doing so will help others find me so they can listen too. Until next time, I pray the Lord will bless your efforts to build a loving home life centered on Him.